You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball.
One ball!
The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal!
Scoring the goals
and goals.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome along to the League Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to the Championship and League 2 playoff semi-final, second legs, and all four games are very finely poised indeed. It promises to be an incredibly interesting week in the Football League. Al Ross will be joining us a little bit later on to give his thoughts on the League 2 playoff semi-final second legs. But first things first, it's a very warm welcome to Pete Farries, who will be giving us his thoughts on the Championship. Hello, Pete.
Hello. So while League 2 had a raft of goals, was 11 in total.
Yeah.
I have two goals and they both came in the same game to deal with. So they're both poised really interestingly, these two Championship playoff games.
Yes, they are. And at least we've got that. It may have been shy on goals, Pete, but nobody wants, none of the neutrals anyway, wants to see a demolition job in the first leg.
No, but I suppose that's what's great about the League 2 this year, wasn't it? It was a 3-3 and a 3-2.
Yeah.
So it's absolute carnage. But yeah, listen, I'm a little bit disappointed to a certain extent with what Fulham did. I was really keen on Fulham. Reading away from home this season have obviously not been as good. They've not been atrocious, because of course they haven't, but they've not been as good as they have been, at the Medeski. And you're sitting there thinking, oh, I was so sure on Fulham. I backed them at 8-13 quite heavily, actually, to be honest with you. And to have to get them back into the game was a little bit frustrating. But, of course, I landed my anytime goal scorer pick, who I play almost every weekend. So, you know, swings and roundabouts.
Indeed. Swings and roundabouts. We'll start with that game then. Reading versus Fulham coming up on Tuesday evening. 7:15 kickoff at the Medeski. Reading in the betting at 2-1. 9-4 the draw. Fulham are 11-8. Obviously, this is 1-1 after the reverse fixture at Craven Cottage. And the first thing I wanted to ask you, Pete, was, has the pressure got to Fulham a little bit? I know it's weird to say that there's pressure on them because they finished sixth, and traditionally the pressure is off the side who finished sixth, but they were the bookies' favourites coming into the playoffs. They were the neutrals' favourite. Everyone who's watched Fulham this year has said how exciting they are, what a good brand of football it is they play. There was plenty of expectancy on Fulham going into this playoff. Did that sort of tell in the first leg?
I don't know if it was about expectation. I mean, what Reading did is we've seen Fulham, certainly in these last few months of the season, be incredibly fluid. I don't know if they're fluid or not. being very fluid, being very expressive, creative. And what Reading did really well was they kind of dragged them into a bit of dirge. And that's the way to stop Fulham, or certainly has been on the rare occasion it's happened in the last few months of the season, which is why you saw the red card and four other bookings, I think, in this game in the first leg. So I think really the Reading just denied them any space, denied them absolutely any kind of chance to create anything, and really one of the very few chances they did get to create something, that they converted it. So no, I think actually, you've got to give credit to Jaap Stam for the way that he approached that game, because I think he was able to identify what has made Fulham so good. I don't know if it was about pressure. I think it was more about, if we're crediting Jaap Stam, it was more about a clever bit of tactical nous. And Slaviski Jokanović, I mean, without being sort of stupid, there was no reason for him to change the formation, was there, or the tactics, or the approach. Because if he goes into that game going, right, we've been brilliant, we've been fluid, we've been creative, blah, 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 now I'm going to tighten things up. I mean, why would you?
Yeah.
Why would you? Especially knowing what you've done to Reading already at home this season. So I can completely understand why he did that, but I think it was a great job done by Jaap Stam, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah. Just to bring Fulham down to that level.
Well, they're not even down to that level. Just they identified what makes Fulham so good, and actually, very cleverly indeed, stopped that.
Yeah, I can see that. In terms of the betting for this game, then, are you a tad surprised to see Fulham as short as they are, given that if Reading were able to do that away from home, if they were able to disrupt Fulham's game away from home, surely they'll find that even easier in front of their own fans. I was a touch surprised to see Fulham as short as 11-8 here, Pete.
Yes, I think you've hit the nail absolutely on the head. How many times have Reading lost at home this season, Sam? I'll tell you, twice.
Right.
They beat Fulham when Fulham went there earlier in the season, 1-0. I think it was Roy Behrens, wasn't it, who scored that day. I was exceptionally surprised to see the price. I don't know if this is weight of money.
Yeah.
I don't know if... the answer is I don't know, because I agree completely with you. I don't know why the price is as it is. Yeah, Fulham have been the informed team coming into the playoffs, and none of us, you know, you and I aren't sitting here now saying they're atrocious. Mm. I mean, you look at them away from home in the last few weeks of the season, from sort of February onwards, won at Bristol City, scored twice at Cardiff, three times at Newcastle, three times at Norwich, four times at Huddersfield, twice at Hillsborough. You know, they're a side who can score a huge amount of goals. So no, I was really surprised, and to that end, knowing how good Reading are at home, the draw no bet Reading is odds against.
Yeah,
you know that's what 12-10 the draw no bet if in comparison to Fulham, which is 11-8. You know, not too much between those two, but you are getting Reading all the 90-minute draw in that, and even though I thought Fulham would qualify from this, that's because I thought they'd win their home leg.
Yeah,
and they didn't, and they weren't phenomenal. So I think right now, Reading to qualify at even money looks to me to be a very strange price. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah. I'm with you.
I just think even money to qualify, they've already done the away leg. The percentage of teams who qualify is much higher, by the way, for teams who play the home leg second in all competitions like this.
In general.
And you're also looking at a Reading side who have only lost twice at home this season. That to qualify market at even money seems interesting to me. I mean, a couple of things, I suppose, against that. They are going to be missing a very, very key man. I mean, McShane has been very, very good this season. But ultimately, the challenge on, I think, was it Kevin McDonald? That's what's cost him. And to be honest, I can kind of see Reading doing the same again at home. I mean, you look at corner markets here. Corner markets. Corner card and stats markets, as they should be referred to. Now, if you go through the card markets here, Sam, there is no way. I mean, first card Reading, 17-20, whatever. You know, total Reading cards, total Fulham cards, all there, of course. So you can do all of these things. Most booking points, Reading at 23-20. That's quite interesting. Again, if we're thinking that he's going to make it, again, very tough for Fulham to play football. Red card again in the match is 100-30. Total booking points over 45, which landed in the previous leg, 6-5. You could play all those things. I mean, there's loads of markets. I mean, we'll get on to goal scorers, I'm sure, in a second. But ultimately, I think as punters, Reading are at home, incredible at home this season. Okay, missing McShane, but they're a team who shouldn't be the price they are.
Yeah,
is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd definitely agree with that. I thought Fulham were unbelievably short in the betting here. Are you going to make Reading draw no bet the selection here then, Pete?
Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with Reading draw no bet as the actual selection. I mean, in terms of goal scorers, I mean, it's obvious, you know, let's just pencil straight in. Tom Kearney, 15-8, brilliant, nice one. But for me, you know, Jan Kermigant, 13-10. Kermigant's been in really good home form this season, scored against Wigan in their final home game of the season, brace against Blackburn, scored at home against Leeds, scored at home against Wolves. You know, Jan Kermigant's had a really, really good season. I mean, you forget the guy's 35.
Yeah.
18 goals this season. And if you look at his last 10 games, it is absolutely unreal. I think it's 9-10 Jan Kermigant's got. So you've really got to bear in mind that the guy is in exceptionally good form. Two games in a few days might make it a bit more tricky for a 35-year-old, with all due respect to any 35-year-olds listening. But ultimately, at the price and probably at the likelihood of where the tie sits, I think Reading will probably qualify.
Okay, Reading to qualify is even money if you like that, and Reading draw no bet in the betting at 6-5. Let's go on to the second outstanding Championship playoff semi-final, and this is going to be played on Wednesday evening at Hillsborough. Another 7:45 kickoff. Sheffield Wednesday taking on Huddersfield, 23-20 about Wednesday, 11-5 the draw. Huddersfield 13-5 in the betting. This finished goalless at the John Smith Stadium, and as a result of that, it's prompted the traders here to make Sheffield Wednesday as favourites now for the playoffs after that 0-0 draw. Is that the way you see it as well, Pete? Do you see that theirs was the best result all round in the first leg?
Well, I think Reading's result was the result of the first round. If you're looking at what a team has done,
but yeah, I suppose it's more about opposition here as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean Wednesday are brilliant at Huddersfield, aren't they? Unbeaten against Huddersfield since 2013. And let's be clear. I mean, I thought tactically Carlos Carvajal got it pretty much right, but they still had to ride their luck. I think was it 13 shots to three or 12 shots to three that Huddersfield had in that game. You know, they did have big chances. Wells, Izzy Brown hit the bar, didn't he? So they did have big chances in that match. But again, there is no doubt here that the advantage is with Sheffield Wednesday. And right now, it looks like a Wednesday-Reading playoff final. Now, Sheffield Wednesday, 23-20 here. That to me is very, very nice indeed. It's very nice. Now, Huddersfield, let's not kid ourselves, are a brilliant side. But it's not too long since Huddersfield went to Sheffield Wednesday. Was it January? I think mid-January. And they lost 2-0. Now, they also weren't great on the day that Huddersfield were beaten at home by Sheffield Wednesday 1-0. It was the Fernando Forestieri's set piece. But I actually think that 23-20 is a really fair price. I mean, if you're just looking at 90-minute markets, and I'm not saying it'll definitely go 90 minutes because we've got two games that are both, at the moment, draws. But it's 5.5-1 for Reading and Sheffield Wednesday in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's not bad, is it? Again, for me in the playoffs, you really need to take advantage. You need to be going into the second leg leading to not necessarily to stand any chance, but certainly to have the very best chance. And Wednesday, I know that late season they lost against Fulham, but they didn't really care then. They lost against Reading. They weren't too bothered then, I guess. But they have been playing really well. And Carlos Carvajal has found his side a little better away from home as well, which is what cost them last season. Last season, they couldn't do anything on the road. And this season, at the start, they couldn't do anything on the road. They've now done well at Huddersfield twice. They now host them. I can't see how they don't progress here, Sheffield Wednesday. Now, in terms of goal scorers, we are, of course, going to look at the same old names, aren't we? Fernando Forestieri has scored in the ties against them this season, 13-8. Adam Reach, I'm a big fan of Adam Reach, has scored recently, 8-1. You could go further down. I mean, Tom Lees, the centre-back, 16-1. I sometimes think Huddersfield are gettable from set pieces, so someone like Tom Lees at 16-1 could be of interest for Huddersfield. Well, there's Wells and Kachunga, both 11-5. Izzy Brown hit the bar in the first leg. And if you fancy a little bit of a, how can I put it, of a script, if you will. Jack Payne was sent off between these two sides earlier in the season at Sheffield Wednesday. So maybe a little bit of a kind of, well, he was sent off and now he's got the winner kind of thing.
Yeah.
5-1 Jack Payne, if you fancy that. But I actually think Sheffield Wednesday might win this comfortably. Is that a strange thing to say?
Really?
Yeah, I don't mean like a battering, but
dare I say handicap markets, please?
Yeah, -1 is 16-5. Don't forget they did do that when Huddersfield went to them earlier in the season. You might instead just want to look at Wednesday race to 2, for example, or Wednesday over 1.5 match goals. You know, something like that just to give you a bit more kind of security. So whether it is the 11-8 on Wednesday over 1.5 match goals or when the race to goals come live a little bit closer to the time, I'm sure you might want to have a nibble on that. It's hard because ultimately you do sometimes fall into a pattern with these playoffs. You kind of go home team, which, you know, because it's difficult for an away team in the second leg. But at the end of the day, Wednesday are a great home side, and I think they got the tactics spot on first time around. They'll have to be a bit more expansive this time, but I'd bet Wednesday to win this.
Okay, Wednesday to win the game, then 23-20 in the betting. And if you do fancy being a little bit more ambitious, Sheffield Wednesday minus a goal is available at 16-5. So you're envisioning a Reading Wednesday final then, Pete?
I am. Of course, the promotion markets are still available.
Yep.
And if
7-4 Wednesday, 2-1 Fulham, 4-1 Huddersfield, and 4-1 Reading.
I think I'd play Sheffield Wednesday in that market.
Yeah.
Again, having said that, I'm not very good with this kind of splitting your stakes thing. So if I get something stupidly wrong, Sam, correct me immediately. But Wednesday, a 7-4.
Yep.
Reading are 4-1, despite that being what I think will be the final. Reading are... I don't understand that. What's the trader's approach here? What are the traders trying to do with Reading? Because they are joint leased... Them and Huddersfield are both 4-1. Huddersfield, I get, because they've got to go to Sheffield Wednesday.
Mm.
Reading host Fulham.
It'll be a reflection on the fact that Fulham are 11-8 favourites, which we've already discussed and we already think is ridiculously too short. But I suppose if they couldn't make Fulham 11-8 favourites for that match and not make them considerably shorter.
Yeah, no, yeah, that is true. That is true. But then I suppose it just comes back to that initial, why are Fulham so heavy a fave?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
I've Reading a Fulham. I mean, a tenner on both of those and you'd probably make profit. But I don't know. Look, I'm not very good at the maths of splitting stakes. I never do it. But yeah, it's a fascinating thing. The playoffs are the best time of the year. I just kind of wish I got to cover the two League Two playoffs. because as interesting and as tactically intricate as the two Championship ones were, I was kind of watching the goals coming in the League Two ones and going, oh.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The man with that illustrious job is Al Ross, and we're going to be hearing from Al very shortly with his thoughts on the second legs in League Two. But first things first, congratulations are in order as Al Ross has officially sealed the Naps Table title in the league podcast this season. I believe you've come a valiant second, Pete, although I don't have the Naps Table in front of me. This is what's been passed on to me by Alex Dunn. But
unless Gav P has landed, I think it was 100-1 on the final week, I think I'm second.
Yes.
But never finished in negatives. So that's...
Can't say fairer than that, really, can you?
No. After 6-7 years, however many years it is now, it all blurs into one. After doing that, that's not too bad. But yeah, credit to Al. He's had an incredible time this season. He's landed bet after bet. I mean, the cynic in me would say that League 2 is the easiest league to bet in of the three. The Championship is definitely the hardest. But, I mean, that would be the bitter cynic in me. But, I mean, despite the fact that it's true, I wouldn't say it. But no, listen, I mean, it's not just that he's won the Naps Table. He's absolutely ripped it up this season. So a huge congratulations to him. Next season, I will destroy him.
Indeed. Al's thoughts very shortly then on League Two. And hopefully there'll be one more league podcast to come this season with Pete, Gav and Al all back on the respective finals in the three divisions. Al Ross is coming up next. Thanks for that, Pete, and enjoy the action.
Cheers, everyone.
The first leg had all the markings of a tight affair. I'd be amazed if anyone had a 3-2 correct score mark down between two of the tightest defences in the division. On the plus side, though, two of the three mentioned goal scorers, Isaac Bissell 11-5 and Mark Cullen 2-1, at least did find the net. The former Luton striker Cullen scoring a hat trick. The most annoying part of this, though, is that Luton should fairly obviously have had a late penalty to bring in the draw shout for one and maybe two handballs. But the lack of an award there cost Luton and cost the draw bet, but we move on. The first question we have to ask is, why was a game that looked so much like it was going to be cagey end up being so open? Well, firstly, the two Luton goals, they were well-worked affairs. For Blackpool's first, it was a defensive error. The second, one of the large number of long-range efforts that Blackpool had been reduced to in a really good hit. The third, Cullen's hat-trick, was an unnecessary and very Luton-like bit of strong-arming at a corner. I watched it. Unimpressed with Luton's defending, was very glad to see boss Nathan Jones saying exactly the same afterwards. Out of character and naive, he called it. With the league's second best defence, I can't see the same happening again at Kenilworth Road. Quite apart from anything else, the nerves will more likely be in the Blackpool backline because, of course, they're the ones with the advantage now. Blackpool's defence, it has to be said, did look the more solid. The Luton goals, though, were really well worked. Two goals away, but not two away goals, of course. There's no such thing in the playoffs. Blackpool are one goal ahead going into the second leg. They're 2-5 to qualify. That's very short. As I mentioned last time, Bloomfield Road is a big factor for Blackpool. While Luton's away record now reads just 3 wins in the last 12, at home, it's much better. 9 wins, 3 draws, 3 defeats since New Year's Eve. That includes 3 wins in the last 4, and one of those last 4 was a win over Blackpool. Likewise, while the final 8 games of the season at Bloomfield Road included 6 Blackpool wins in their last 8 away games, they've won just 3. There are 2 draws in there, and of course a draw will do them, and I can see Blackpool trying to keep it tight, relying on their defensive record, which is also very good, and trying to shut Luton out, knowing that Luton's away goals aren't away goals in that sense, and even a 1-0 defeat would of course give them a chance in extra time should that scoreline happen. And I think it might, not just because Blackpool did lose at Kenilworth Road just last month, but because I can see Luton making the breakthrough and Blackpool may not. Two of the last three of the last five, or if you want to go back further, seven of the last 13 away games for Blackpool, they have failed to score. That's since New Year's Eve. And yet Luton, to keep a clean sheet, is 21-10. And while Luton's defensive record at home is oddly not as good as it is on the road, they have been, I'm sure, drilled to within an inch of their lives after that first leg display. As I said, one of Blackpool's goals was a wonder hit. You can't legislate for those. Two of them, defensive errors. Cut those out, you cut the goals out. I think Luton can win this at 11-8 and win it by a goal. And given 26 of their goals this season have been in the first half, the other 46 have been in the second half, I'm tempted by the much bigger priced draw first half, Luton second half at 5-1. Well, with the concentration on getting the defence right at Luton, a naturally cautious approach to defending their lead for Blackpool, I think the 0-0 at half time also appeals at 15-8. This is being recorded at a time with limited markets, so not all of these are priced up, but 1-0 Luton at 15-2, that wouldn't surprise me. It's a scoreline that would force extra time, at which point normally the home side, who having also won in 90 minutes to get there, would normally have the advantage. But Luton don't deal with that high pressure as well as Blackpool do normally. It wouldn't surprise me now if fervour and over-exuberance sink into Luton. I mean, Blackpool haven't had a single player sent off for two yellow cards this season. Luton have had a league-high six. That kind of temperament might just cost them. No prices as I speak, but a red card for a specific team is normally 5-1, sometimes bigger for a home side. I do fancy this finishes level on aggregate, though. And I'd fancy Blackpool to go through via extra time or penalties at that point. Quite apart from anything else, Luton haven't seen any cup tie go to extra time this season, but Blackpool have played in five. They lost on penalties when they were favourites at home against Wickham in the trophy, but otherwise, they were the underdog every time. And they won every time. That's away at Everton's development squad, away at Doncaster in the trophy. They won on penalties in those. Then at home against Bolton in the League Cup, they won in extra time. And they scored a late extra time winner to go through at Barnsley in the FA Cup. Now, I know I tipped Luton over the two legs. Said 2-5 on Blackpool to qualify is way too short. But I did also tip the draw in the first leg. So when I'm tipping Luton, the balance, the circumstance of the tie has rather changed. So I think the semi-final is too tough to call in that sense, but the value here is going to be to back this one to go to extra time, at which point I think Blackpool probably the more likely with their experience to progress. When you back the away side as the outsiders, as we did, and the home manager comes out and admits that they were lucky to get the draw, it's one of the most frustrating betting feelings that there is. Still, there is a second leg to come and there's more value to be had, and that value comes on one market, possibly more than any other. The last game of the regular season was Carlisle at Exeter. That one finished 3-2. The first leg of this playoff finished 3-3. And yet both teams to score and over 2.5 goals somehow is 5-6. There are limited markets at the time of recording, so there's no straight over 3.5 goals available, but Exeter are 17-20 just to score twice. It's true the goals in the first leg were fairly poor quality. It's also true that Carlisle keeper Mark Gillespie in particular made at least three wonderful saves that I can recall, and Exeter had one, possibly even two, perfectly good goals disallowed for offside, and they hit the post in injury time as well. Carlisle's goals, two of them fairly lucky, one a deflection, the other a Ronaldinho Seaman-esque cross. They did also score a sound near post header. Carlisle coming from a goal and 3-1 down to get the draw. Exeter had some fortunes with their goals too. The pick of them though, David Miller's really well taken, his fourth in sixth, and that landed a 7-4 shout at least. All those goals, and yet two men notable by their absence from the starting lineup: Jabo Abire. Carlisle are normally quite blunt without him. He was missing from the matchday squad entirely for the first leg, and with Carlisle still in this tie, I don't think he'll be risked here. If that's the case, it makes me look at the other end at where Exeter's goals may come from. And the other man who missed out on the starting lineup for the first game, Reuben Reid. He started on the bench, coming on with 20 minutes to play as Paul Tidsdale started with just the one up front away from home. But when Exeter played Carlisle on the last day of the regular season at home, it was two up top. And I think Reuben Reid, who'll be fresh having played just 20 minutes at that first leg, will be recalled to play alongside Ollie Watkins. Reid, shot shy on the road, but loves a goal on home turf. He scored in the last two games at St James's Park, including against Carlisle on the final day. He's two in his last two there, five in his last six, seven in his last nine. And all bar one of those was just the one goal in every game as well. So they're nicely spread out in that way. Carlisle had long spells of pressure in the first leg, and yet Exeter were carving them open at times. And at 13-10, I'd be backing Reuben Reid to be the one to do it. While I'm not as comfortable selecting a Carlisle goal scorer if Ibira is not playing, Reggie Lamb's price of 17-5 is absurdly big. In the first leg, Jamie Proctor, the target man up front, and Lamb was just ratting around in behind, a much more attacking role than usual. They changed it to drop him deeper and push him out wide later on in the game, but he still had two or three really good openings. And having found his scoring touch recently, two in his last four away, he shouldn't be that big in what could well be an open game. Picking a correct score here, it could be a fool's game that, but Carlisle scored 11, conceded 9 in their last four. Exeter scored 11, conceded 8 in their last four. So they're both averaging around 5 goals a game. I'm going to go Exeter 3-1, just because 14-1 looks fairly tempting for the price. I didn't fancy Carlisle coming into these playoffs. The lack of Jabu Ibiere, the man whose goals led to that late surge to actually get them to this position, I think him being missing will hurt them over the two legs. Carlisle might be better on the road than at home generally, but I think they know they were outplayed in the home leg. Mentally, I think that may tell more than their last day win, with two dubious penalties, in fact, that they got on this ground on the final day of the regular season. I'm going to go for the same market as the first leg for the outright, because I know full well how close it came to landing. Exeter and both teams to score is 11-4. I'm also going to stick with my outright pick as well. I think Exeter are still the team best set to win at Wembley if it gets that far, and they are 15-8 for promotion.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.